Irish Illustrated Insider subscribers. This is Drew Mentok, and I'm here to bring you the 13th episode from our bi-weekly podcast series in the feed, Irish Illustrated Interviews. Today, we're sharing my conversation with Shane Walton, a former Notre Dame cornerback who is a consensus All-American, team captain, and team MVP in 2002. Oh, and he's also a former All-Big East soccer player for the Fighting Irish. We discussed growing up as one of the nation's top youth soccer players, why he picked football at Notre Dame, and how he transformed himself into one of the nation's top defenders on the gridiron. Our conversation also explores why his professional career didn't work out as planned and the importance of stepping away from football after retirement to fall in love with the game once more. Here's my interview with Shane.
What's up, everyone? I'm here with Shane Walton, a former Notre Dame All-American defensive back in football and second-team All-Big East soccer player in the late 1990s and early 2000s. You were drafted in the fifth round by the then St. Louis Rams. Today, you're the head high school football coach at the Bishop School, your alma mater. You're also my wife's first favorite Notre Dame football player, which she wanted me to make sure I told you. Thank you so much for being here today, Shane.
Thanks for having me, brother. I appreciate you being on, and I'm glad I could be your wife's first favorite Notre Dame football player.
Definitely. And so you're from the San Diego area. I'm kind of curious, what's your first recollection or memory of Notre Dame before you obviously even were getting recruited by the school?
It's funny. I've told this story at the Notre Dame Club of Orange County. So my mother and I lived out here. My mother's from Oklahoma. So I was born and raised out here. And so it was just her and I. We had no family out here. So for Thanksgiving, we used to go up to Disneyland because it was cheap and no one was there. And so we'd take the train up. We'd stay in a hotel. And we just so happened to stay at the hotel when Notre Dame was out at USC every year. And I remember asking my mom, why do they keep singing that same song? Because they were singing the fight song, and I had no idea who Notre Dame was, what it was. I wasn't even into football at that time. But I just remember all these people wearing blue and gold and singing the song on the trolleys over to Disneyland. So that was my first introduction to Notre Dame. I was probably 6 years old. I had no idea what football was or who Notre Dame was, but that was my introduction as a Southern California kid.
And so you were actually, as I mentioned in the intro, a really prominent soccer player, especially in high school. I believe your club team won the national championship at least once. Yep. And it sounds like at some point then Notre Dame started recruiting you for soccer. How did that come about? Yep. and you developed those relationships?
I was on the La Jolla Nomads and we won three national championships. So under 16, under 17, under 19.
Wow.
And we were considered still to this day probably one of the best youth soccer teams in America. But that was, my mom got me into soccer when I was a young kid. Her boss at the time coached a soccer team. And he's like, hey, your son likes to run around. I know he's only three, but I coach a five under team. Like, do you think he'd want to play? So she put me out there just to kind of burn some energy. And it turned out like I just fell in love with the sport and grew into it. And then Mike Berticelli, who was a Notre Dame head coach, came to my house to recruit me. And I was one of the top recruits that year. And so I was being recruited by a bunch of guys and they'd come in and give me their sales pitch. And Coach Berticelli came in and was like, hey, what's up? I just want to get to know you. And so he came in with a real fresh, refreshing perspective and really just wanted to get to know me as a person and not just a soccer player. And so that was the reason I came to Notre Dame, was because of Mike Berticelli and his approach with me.
And what was it like making that transition from Southern California, where the weather's always nice, to coming to South Bend, where, I mean, we have three or four good months a year, probably?
It was really difficult at first. I remember thinking that I could just take my sweater. I had a hooded sweater and thinking I'd be okay, and wearing my tennis shoes. And I found out quickly that that didn't work in the winter. And so Coach Berticelli got me a big snow jacket and a big Notre Dame snow jacket, and he helped me get some boots. And so then I figured out what I needed to do. But it was not an easy transition. He helped me. I had some friends from my soccer team that were a year older who were there, and Griffin Howard. And so he helped me transition as well when I was there. So it was not easy, but there was, you know, it's Notre Dame. There were some really good people around that were able to help ease the transition for me.
And you get on campus, and it sounds like you took to the soccer team, or college soccer, pretty quickly. I think you led the team in goals that year with 10, had 7 assists, where, as I mentioned, it a second team all-conference player. What was it like to get there and kind of have immediate success?
I don't know. I didn't look at it as success for me. Like, I've never been like that. Like, I could score 4 goals and we lose, and I'm going to be freaking pissed. So I don't care about that. I care about winning. I mean, I care about the team doing well. And we had a decent season, not a great season. I mean, so I wasn't happy with where we ended up. But it was for me, college soccer was honestly like a step down, because my club soccer team was so good. And again, like I said, we had guys on the national team, and we actually, in fact, for my club team, we played the U.S. national team for our age, and we beat them 2-1. And
so
that the level that my club soccer team was on, that we were really good. And so coming to the college level was kind of a step down soccer wise. Physically, the game was faster and guys were bigger and stronger, but like the level of play was easy for me.
Interesting. Is that from like a, I guess, technique and proficiency standpoint? Like, they just maybe wasn't like the dribbling or ball skills?
That, but also you think about like in 1999, you think about how many great soccer players are in America, right? There's not that many. And so like for me, we had probably 5 or 6 really, really good players on my club team. And then all the others were really proficient. And then, so you spread that out with 100 or 200 something college teams, there's not that many great players on each team. And so like the purity is watered down of like the great players in college that play soccer. Now it's a lot different, right? There's a lot more kids that are playing soccer at a higher level. So I think college soccer is a little bit better now.
And so I know you played high school football, at least for a few seasons. And it sounds like you had one scholarship offer from Fresno State, but then obviously went the soccer route. What made you, once you got on campus, decide you wanted to go to Bob Davy and try and walk on?
So when Coach Bertoselli recruited me, his thought was, hey, I know you love soccer and I know you love football. I don't want you to have to choose. I know it's tough for you. So he goes, let's do this. Why don't you come to Notre Dame, play 2 years of soccer in your freshman and sophomore year. During your freshman and sophomore year, you can do spring football. And that way you still have the best of both worlds. And after that second year, you choose. Do you want to do soccer or do you want to do football? And so like when he phrased it that way, I was, oh, this is the best of the best, right? I get to go to Notre Dame, a great academic school, a school that has a tremendous amount of history and tradition, which is what I wanted. And then I get to do the two things that I love. And so it made it really easy. But after my first freshman year of soccer, I wasn't in love with soccer at Notre Dame. I just remember our practice fields were right next to the football field, and I would hear them, their whistles, and I just wanted to be over there. And then so after spring football of my freshman year, Coach Davy offered me a scholarship for football and asked me, hey, if I had a scholarship, would you switch over? And then I told him yes. And so then I spoke with Coach Bertoselli, and he was thrilled for me, even though he was going to lose a good player and a really close relationship. He was like, hey, this is what you want to do. I'm in full support of it.
So what was that like, that first spring football practice? I know I read you played a lot of wide receiver in high school, then obviously we're playing defensive back for Notre Dame. Was that transition difficult? How did you kind of take to football at that level?
That was terrible. I mean, I think guys saw like that I was very competitive, and they saw that like I had a little bit of skill, but like those guys were on a different level from me. They had been doing it for a while. I was so far behind. I came from a smaller school. I needed the weight room. I was not strong and fast. And so it was a very humbling experience for me. But inside, I knew, I was like, oh, I just need to more time and I'll be good. I knew I could do it. It was just, I needed time to get stronger. I needed time to really learn the sport at a high level.
Was there any time where Coach Davy thought you were trying to be a kicker or anything like that when you first broached the subject?
No. Okay. No, I think he knew. We had a conversation before spring practice. He's like, hey, what do you want to play? I was like, I play receiver and I play corner. I said, what do you need? He's like, well, we probably need some more corners, so why don't you start it at corner? And so there you go.
And what do you think you did though to earn a scholarship, even though you, like you said, you needed a lot of development, both physically and technically?
I think what any coach looks at is potential, right? And so I think he knew, hey, he hasn't played that much football. I only started playing football in high school. I was really raw, but I think he liked the way I competed, that I believed I could beat anyone or cover anyone. And then if you did beat me, I was going to be right there fighting to get knock the ball out or not let you score a touchdown. I think he liked my competitive drive. And I think he thought, hey, he'll get faster. He'll get more knowledge and skill in the game. I think we should give him a shot. But when you see a kid that is determined and like has a never say die attitude, like you kind of want those kids around.
Where do you think that attitude came from?
Probably just my neighborhood. I was telling someone yesterday, I grew up literally right next to Juvenile Hall in San Diego. And so in my neighborhood was not a great neighborhood. And the only grass area we had in our neighborhood was the front lawn of Juvenile Hall. And so that's where we played football. And so I remember playing against J.J. Stokes, who was probably 5, 6 years older than me, Darnay Scott. We all lived in the same neighborhood. And so we played, and I was probably 8 or 9, and they're like 14, and they're just murdering me. Like I'm playing with high school kids, and but they saw that at that age too. I wasn't afraid to tackle them. They would probably truck me, but I would stick my head in there. I would try to tackle them, and I try to tackle them as hard as I could. And so I think just the grit from my neighborhood, the grit from playing against older kids all the time, and having to fight for everything in that neighborhood, not having a dad, just being raised by a single mom, I had to be more mature. I had to, you know, at sometimes like raise myself when my mom was working late. So just I think all those things collectively, I was like, look, I don't have a choice, right? It's like it's fight or die. And so I think that's where it comes from.
And so then your first fall, I don't believe you played too much as you're kind of developing and stuff. But then the next year, it sounds like you found a role and I think became a starter in your second season.
Yeah, that first role, the first year, I wrote out, I'm big on goals. And so I wrote out my goals and I had it on my mirror in my dorm. In my first year, I was like, I just want to get experience and I want to learn everything there is to learn. And so that was my goal. And my second year of football, I was like, my goal is to start. And then my third year, I was like, I want to be good. And then my fourth year, I was like, I want to be great. I want to be an All-American. And so I looked at those goals every single day on my mirror. And I had to not just have the goals, but I had to do stuff to get it, right? So those were my big goals, but I had probably 20 or 30 individual goals underneath all of those that would help prepare me. Once I was able to check that off, it would be a step towards that goal. And so I'm very goal-oriented even to this day. And like I have a plan and I have to execute that plan.
And I think then in your first year as a starter, you had some big games right away. I know you guys had a close loss to number one Nebraska, but I believe you had an interception there. And then you picked off Drew Brees the next week. What was it like to get on the field? And you mentioned being goal-oriented person, but to kind of see some of that work come to fruition.
I mean, I think people see like you play on Saturdays and they think that like that's it. And for me, that was like years in the making, right? Where I remember Brock Williams was kind of like my mentor because he was a really good corner at the time. And I was like, hey, what, like, let's go work. And so he and I would, it'd be in the middle of the winter. We're out there on the field in the snow, running routes and working. And then we'd be in the weight room doing our workouts. And then we'd go do catch balls in the Joyce, which was our indoor field at this time. And then I remember the strength coach would kick us out, say, hey, you guys are working too hard. You guys got to get out of here. And then we would go to the dorm and we would run stairs in the dorm. And so I think that's where it all comes from, right? It's like, it didn't just come from that Saturday I got an interception. It came from like the work that no one saw. It came from when everyone else is sleeping or people are out partying. It came from studying and doing the work because I knew I wasn't the most gifted athletically, but I was going to be the fastest in the third and fourth quarter because no one was going to outwork me.
And then in the first year as a starter, you guys had a pretty good year, went 9-3. The next year, I think you won 5 or 6 games. And that's, of course, when Coach Davey was let go. What was that like to kind of have that good first year? And then you mentioned you're all about winning more than your individual play to kind of have things go that way. And then, of course, have the guy who kind of gave you an opportunity leave the program.
Well, I think that's my second football season. We weren't great. I was freaking pissed. And so, or my second season starting, I hate losing. Even my mom knows. So she would call me just to make sure I was healthy. And then she'd be okay. But if we won, it was a different conversation. But my mom just wanted to make sure I was healthy. And she knew I wasn't going to be happy after the game. But you build relationships with these coaches, right? And it is difficult. Like, I know people clamor for the firing of a coach, but there's so much else that's underneath that, right? You really get close to your position coach, and you get close to your position coach's family, and you go over there for dinners, and you know their kids, and you know their wife. And there's a human aspect of it that I think a lot of people don't see. And that was tough, and that's difficult. Learning that, it became like a business for me. And so I understood that. And so I just tried to take away different skills and tools from each coach that I had. I had a different position coach all 4 years of my football career there.
Oh, wow.
So people look at it like, oh, that's tough. But I said, no, I got to learn from four different minds. And I put all that together. And that's probably the reason why I had the season I had my senior year. It wasn't just because of that year's coach. It was collectively of all the things that I'd learned in my 4 years there.
And you mentioned your senior year. That was Tyrone Willingham's first year. You went 10-3. I believe you had 7 interceptions, which, if that didn't lead the nation, was among the top mark. What you mentioned having everything kind of come together that year. What was it like to have that run? And somebody who grew up in South Bend, that was the first season I remember really prominently about Notre Dame football, because there was this big resurgence and a lot of buzz around the program, in large part because of some of the things you were doing.
Yeah, I think that team, we knew we were not as talented as the years before. The years before, we had so much talent. And I think had we had, you know, Tyrone Willingham, maybe for those years, I think we win a little bit more. Is just what he brought to the program was, he cared about the full player, and it wasn't just like the football field. It was he made us write resumes, and he made us learn how to do like etiquette training and resume. Like he did a lot of like public speaking. And so he poured into us in more ways than just on the football field. So I think guys really wanted to win for him. And then there was that other people who didn't take to that. But for me, when someone pours into me, I'm like, look, I'm going to give them everything I have. And so it was a fun run. I think we had some quality guys on the team that we were talented. I don't think we were as deep, but we had some freaking talent. But it was a fun run, and I hate the way it ended, because I feel like we were on such a high. But it didn't come together the way I would have hoped.
Are there any moments or plays or even games that really stick out to you fondly now from your time playing football at Notre Dame?
Yeah, the ones we lost. I remember the Oregon State game. I remember losing to North Carolina State. I remember losing to USC, and I remember the plays that made it happen. And that's, for me, it's, I don't know, I look at all the negative and I try to work it to make it a positive. And unfortunately, when you're a senior year, you don't get another chance to work harder or to push your teammates in order to make those negative things that happen in order to turn those into successes. So that's something that I've lived with for a long time, but that's who I am. When something goes wrong, I'm like, what can I do better? How can I challenge my teammates to be better so that those negative things that happen can turn into something positive?
I had Matthias Farley on a previous podcast, and he talked about how he actually didn't play football until his junior year of high school and had been a soccer player all his life up to that point. And you mentioned all the work you had to put in to kind of get to where you were in the field. But I'm curious if there's anything about playing soccer, we think of those, soccer and football is quite different, but skill set that translated well that prepared you to play defensive back at that level too.
There was a couple of things. The biggest thing to me was vision. So in soccer, you have to be able to see the entire field, and you have to see a pass before it develops. And so like I had to know where the defender is and then where I can put the ball so the defender doesn't get the ball that I'm passing to. I would also say angles. So understanding angles and where things are going to be and how they're going to get there. And then just the what soccer did for me with lateral quickness, the turning, the moving, the quick, having to be balanced, right? Everything you do is on basically one leg because you're dribbling the ball as opposed to just carrying it. So it's a lot more difficult. So all those things help translate to me for football. Like I was, I think, a better soccer player because I played football, and I was a better football player because I played soccer. But I would say really the couple of things was the angles. So I understood angles from that the quarterback had to throw the ball at based off where the receiver was and where he was going, which was just like a pass in soccer, right?
Yeah.
I understand where the defenders was and where to be able to put that ball. So those things translated to help me out as well.
Kind of curious what that season was like for you personally. I mean, you were unanimous All-American. I read an article from that year that the New York Times did on you. So you, I guess from like recognition standpoint, seems like you kind of blew up a little bit. What was it like kind of dealing with that type of thing? Or were you pretty insulated playing football?
I hated it. I loved winning and I loved being with my guys. I love being able to make plays to help the team win. I didn't love all the extra stuff that came with it. Like being able to just go sit down at dinner with my mom or a girlfriend at the time and people just coming up to you and wanting to talk to you all the time. I found that difficult. I love my anonymity and like that goes away quickly, right? So I felt like it changed me a little bit. I didn't really go out as much. I just kind of wanted to be alone and not, and also care about people. And then, so I started to get really confused if I knew people or they knew me or they knew of me. And so then everything started becoming like it blended. And then I started feeling like I didn't know if I knew them or not. And it was just so weird to me. And I felt like I almost had to like put on this persona, like, and I didn't love that.
Oh, that's interesting. And I apologize if my wife was one of those people who was coming up to you as a kid.
That's awesome.
So after the season, you go through the NFL draft process. I believe you went to the combine and then were selected in the fifth round by the St. Louis Rams. What was that process like kind of going from, I mean, just a few years ago, you came there to play soccer and then all of a sudden you're competing to play in that or, you know, training to play in the NFL. What was that like? Did that feel surreal?
Yeah, but I think there's no really time to think about it, right? Like as soon as my season ended, there was award ceremonies. And I was going on all these trips and then I was trying to find an agent. And then my agent sent me out to IMG because that's where I ended up signing with IMG. And so I was out there. And from the moment I got there, I was training like all day. And then the draft happens and then you go to you get drafted and the next weekend you're at the facility and you're so there's really no time to think about it until really I think like a couple of years after I just started thinking about it. And honestly, like when I have a 10-year-old boy and an 8-year-old boy and they ask me questions. And so now it's like I'm really thinking about what I did and how it happened just because they're asking me more about like my experience. But I don't think about it a lot. I think about more about the times I had with my teammates, like going out or like having barbecues or driving to Chicago and doing stuff like that. That's what I think about most. It's not all the time just playing, but it's just the experiences I had with my teammates.
So you played one season with the Rams. I know you played in the first four games and then you were put on injured reserve. What was that like kind of dealing, getting on the team and making an impact a little bit and then having to deal with injury in that process?
I kind of injured my back training for the combine. And I think that was my drop because I went to the combine, didn't do well because I was injured. And then I got to St. Louis and I was probably like at best 80%. I had a back injury. And so I made the team and I knew I could, it was kind of back to my freshman year when I got out there the first with football. I was like, I was a little bit over my head, but I was like, oh, I'm going to be good. I have that same feeling that I had when I first stepped on the football field at Notre Dame. Like I'm outmatched right now, but like, I'm going to get this and I'm going to be good. And so I had that same feeling, even at like 80%. And so I just never got to get healthy. I never could recover from my back injury. And that was kind of like what led me that. But still, like to this day, I like, what a great experience. I would have loved to be able to really show what I could do. Unfortunately, I didn't get that opportunity, but it wasn't because of lack of effort or work on my part. It's just my body broke down. But now that gives me an opportunity. Like I could look in the mirror because I know I gave everything I had in order to be successful, and it just didn't work out.
Right. And I know you had brief stints with the Steelers and the Colts the next year, and then played at least a little bit in the CFL with the Calgary Stampede a little bit. What was it like trying to, while your body was maybe not cooperating with you the way you wanted to, still trying to push through it and achieve those goals?
Yeah, it was difficult because for me, it was the one injury that I couldn't overcome. I was always a quick healer. I had broke bones and they were like, oh, you're out for 2 months. And I'd come back in like 4 or 5 weeks, or you have this injury, and I'd always come back early. But this was the one thing I couldn't overcome structurally. Like my disc exploded and it leaked on the nerve. And so I had nerve damage and I was missing a piece of my body that should have been in there. And so I just could never overcome it. And that was probably the most frustrating piece for me, that I wasn't able to be at 100% and give it my all. Even like I couldn't train as much as I used to because my back was, I had to rehab and it wouldn't allow me to do that. And so I think just, I felt trapped, right? Like my whole calling card was no one would outwork me. And then with this injury, like I couldn't work the way I wanted to work.
Oh man. Yeah.
So it was definitely a challenging time for me. But you know, the thing is, when you play a sport like this, you have to learn how to turn your body off and not feel. And so I learned to do that. And then the challenging part when I was done playing, learning how to turn my body back on and feel. And so that took years to be able to figure that out. But now I wish I could turn it back off because my body hurts. But it was, everything's a blessing, man. And I've learned so much and I've grown so much. And someone asked me the other day, they said, Shane, with all the injuries you went through and what you're experiencing now, was it worth it? Would you do it again? 100% the answer is yes. I loved my experience. I loved the people I got to know. I loved the opportunities it presented to me, and I took full advantage of it. So I had a blast, and I don't look back and second guess any decision I made.
And what was it like, the transition to life after football, especially as somebody who is so goal oriented too? Like, how did you navigate that?
My high school that I'm working at now, my senior year, the headmaster had an exit interview with me, and he was a man I really respected. And in the end of the interview, he said, hey, if you ever want a job, you have a job here.
Wow.
And so I remember making the decision to retire and not play football anymore. And it was like a Thursday. And so I called him. I said, hey, I just want to remind you of that conversation we had. He said, be here Monday morning at 8:00. We start. And so I came here to work, and I just haven't looked back. It's been an amazing opportunity for me to be here. I remember meeting with my boss, and on Monday mornings, he'd give me a list of stuff to do for the week. And in football, every minute of your day is accounted for. And I just remember finishing that list on Monday before 3:00. He's like, that was for the week. And I'm like, well, that's not how I work. I'm used to working every single second of the day. And so I had to learn the transition of like, hey, you can take a little bit more time and not have to overwork everything.
And how helpful was that to have something to kind of put your energy and focus, and I guess maybe even find a purpose so quickly after you hung up your cleats?
It was really important. You know, the football coach here tried to get me to coach for the first 4 years I was here, and I wanted no part of it. Part of it was I still wasn't at peace with how I left the game. And I think the other part was I was wanting to recreate my identity because, you know, this is the piece I hated about it, was that everyone's like, they introduced, hey, this is my buddy Shane. He plays football and I can't just be Shane. I have to be the association of the football player. And so I think I was trying to separate from that and recreate like who I am and who I wanted to be. And so I think I didn't want to be known as Shane the football anything. And so I stayed away from the sport for a couple of years. I didn't even watch it for a couple of years. And so now I'm the head football coach, and I've processed through all that, and like I get to pour in what's in my heart and then what's in my soul and what's in my mind into these young kids. And it's a blessing every day.
That's really interesting that you saw it as like a, you wanted to disassociate first so you could then come back to the game and know who you are even without it.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, you know, when I was in the NFL, we had a saying there, like they said, make the money, don't let the money make you. And so I think for even the, I think my path to Notre Dame football was not the normal path. And so it required me to stay humble the entire time and not get used to these luxuries or these things. And I think Notre Dame also has a unique way of doing that. You know, there's no football dorms. There's no extra benefits that we got for being football players. And so it now it's obviously it's different, right? They're getting paid. But I think at the time it was what made Notre Dame unique was that we were the same as everyone else there. We went the same classes. We stayed in the same dorms. We ate in the same dining halls. And so we were, it forced a humility that I think a lot of the other programs didn't have because they just got stuff. And then you become, you know, like you become used to that and you become, you almost get entitled that I deserve these things. Right. Notre Dame is like, no, you earn these things. And that I think created a different culture and a different mindset.
What was it like getting into coaching when you decided to do so? I know you were the defensive coordinator for a while, and I believe in 2020 or 2021, you became the head coach. What was it like to get involved in the game that way?
It was difficult because what mindset-wise, what I left was at the highest level.
Right.
And what I came into was – like you have to teach different. So my first year, I was like, oh, we'll just check and we'll do this and we roll here. And they're like, what are you talking about? And so I had to really, it took me like a year or two to figure out how to coach at this level, but still coach at a high level. And so I really had to formulate the defense in a way that was still at a high level and we could produce, but also a way that they could regurgitate and understand it. And so that process took like a year and a half, but we formed a lot of skills and sayings that these kids understand now that they play at a really high level mentally, and it makes up for what we lacked physically.
Was there, I know like even talking to, you know, Notre Dame's defensive coordinators like Al Golden or even Chris Ash, there's a process after they came from the NFL back to Notre Dame of almost having to realize they need to trim down the playbook. Was that kind of similar for you where you're like came in with all these things you wanted to do and concepts and you just kind of had to realize I need to throw these out and simplify it?
Yes and no. I think I played for Lovie Smith. He was a defense coordinator in St. Louis. And I think we had max 12 defenses and we go into every game with five.
Okay.
And so we knew with those five defenses, we knew how we were going to be attacked and where the weaknesses of that defense were. And so we really knew the defense and we would fly around. And so Love used to say all the time, he goes, I want you to think before the play so you can react during the play. And so that's my mindset with these kids. Like, I want you pre-snap, I want you to go do all your thinking. And that way, when that ball snaps, you already know what you're doing. You know where to go and you're going to get there the fastest, even if you're not the fastest player on the field. And so our kids know, they know the game at a high level and they're able to play fast, even if they may not be as fast.
And how rewarding has it been now that you kind of got through some of those, you know, adjustments to it, to give back to your high school and coach a lot of good kids, whether they went on to play for a school like Notre Dame, like Tyler Buchner. And I know you have a quarterback you mentioned offline before we started, who's going to Boise State next year, but kind of coach a wide spectrum of football players.
For me, you know, at this school we're at, we don't get the high profile athletes. And so we develop and we get players that on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the highest, we get guys that are ones and twos and threes. And we have to make sure that when they leave here, they're fives, sixes, and sevens. And the guys that come in as sixes and sevens, we got to make sure they leave as tens. And so we make sure that we love the kids first. I tell my coaches all the time, like, we have to earn the right to coach these kids. And that means getting to know them, getting to know what they need. Do they need affirmation? Do they need to be challenged? Do they need to be kicked in the butt? And so earn the right to do that. And then once you have that, these kids will do anything for you. But it's not the other way. We work for them. And our job is to serve them and love them and teach them and guide them on and off the field. And so we have a really good relationship with all of our kids. And so for me, when I get the calls of, hey, coach, I'm getting ready to have a son or a daughter. I'm getting ready to be a dad. Like, what do I need to know? Or, hey, coach, I'm getting married. What do you think I need to know going into my marriage? So those to me are like, that's the success for me when they want to be back here, when they have those phone calls with me. I have four, I call them kids, but they're men. I have four kids on my staff that I coached. And so that for me is like, it's the best because it tells me that I did something right and that they want to be around the program and me.
Yeah, definitely. And so I mentioned you coached Tyler Buckner. I remember talking to you back when he was a recruit, and obviously he came to Notre Dame to play quarterback, but I remember you saying that you felt like he could have been one of the top safeties in the country as well, that the defense of the side of the ball is an area you felt like he actually thrived into, but obviously had a lot of talent at quarterback.
Yeah, well, this is the same thing we did with our quarterback now that's going on to Boise State. We, in order to understand the game, I remember when I was in St. Louis, I would talk to Isaac Bruce and Torrey Holt all the time about why they would align where they aligned, why they would have a negative split, like closer to the lineman, or why they would line up on the numbers or the top of the numbers or the bottom of the numbers. So everything matters. And you learn your position from the other side of the ball. And so that's the same thing we did with Tyler and our quarterback now. I wanted them, they needed to learn defense. And so they needed to understand where the safeties align, why they align there, why the linebackers might be split out a little bit more, or why they're tighter, or why they're closer to the line of scrimmage. So that way that they know how they're going to be attacked. And so I think when you have a quarterback, and if you just teach them the offense, that's great, but that's only a piece of the game, right? They need to learn how to diagnose a defense with a one high, two high, four high. So they need to understand that. And so that's what we do in our program, especially with our quarterbacks. They learn from the other side.
Interesting. And I know Tyler's journey at Notre Dame hasn't gone as I'm sure he may be thought it would when he first got to South Bend, but he's, you know, come back, found a different role, then won a national championship in lacrosse, a two sport athlete in South Bend like you were. What's it like to, what's it like for you to kind of follow his journey at your alma mater?
It's been amazing. I mean, my kids got to watch him play here, and like, he's their favorite player. They talk about Tyler all the time. And so it's awesome to watch him go do things. He and I maintained our relationship. He was just here on their bye week. He came and spoke to the team and hung out with the coaches. And it was just good to be around him again and see how much he's grown as a young man. But it was a blast watching him. I was so happy for him that I know what he was stepping into as far as the people, because I know the people at Notre Dame is what makes it special. And so it was comforting to know that I know the journey didn't go the way he wanted, but he was still around some amazing people.
Is he someone who you think would want to get into coaching? Kind of seems like with his path that maybe something you'd be interested in, but
maybe later. I know he's going to go to New York and he's going to do some work and he's going to make a ton of money. but maybe if he ever moves back, he'd be a guy. I know he does well. Even his conversation with our quarterback at the time, like just a quick word he said, like just motivated our quarterback. And so he has it in him he knows the game really well. He's a phenomenal young man that I have a tremendous amount of respect for. He was one of the best teammates I've ever coached. He loved his guys. He never blamed them for anything. They dropped balls and he would accept the blame. He was a phenomenal, phenomenal teammate.
Interesting. And you mentioned you stopped watching the game for a little bit after you stopped playing, but I'm curious what it's like now, if you've gotten back into Notre Dame football as an alum and fan, and what's that like to watch the team now if you do, especially with the run they've had?
Game. Okay. Yeah, my wife knows I have 3 hours on Saturday where I watch Notre Dame, and my kids love it. I remember we were watching some of the playoff games last year, and my son comes out with my Notre Dame helmet on and we're watching the game screaming. It's a blast. I enjoy watching the way they play. Like for me, I want Notre Dame to win, but I care more about the way they win or lose as opposed to if they win or lose. So watching, because I know what my teammates and I did and the sacrifices we made with our bodies And I want them flying. I knew we flew around and flying in the guys that are 300 pounds, like, and getting to the football, like, it means something. And so when I watch and people are being lazy, like, I don't love that, even if we win. But the way they're playing now, you could tell it means something to them. The way they get to the football, like, I love watching the way they're winning and losing.
That actually transitions into the last thing I wanted to ask you about. And that's, you were an All-American cornerback in 2002. I believe they didn't have another All-American at that position until Julian Love in 2018. But now Notre Dame's really, I mean, with Benjamin Morrison last year, Cam Hart the year before, Leonard Moore, some of they're recruiting that position now as well as anyone else. What's it like for you to see the position you played now become such a central part, and, you know, they're led the nation in pass efficiency defense the prior 2 years, and that's just like so central to their identity as a team?
Yeah, I love it. I think that's where, I think if you look back at like the secondary that we had when I was playing, it was our coach Davies, like, hey, he had a meeting with the DBs, like, we need you guys to be great. We're going to play man press the whole time, and we need you to take care of your responsibility. If you can do that, that means we put more guys in the box and they can't run. He goes, I think we have the guys in this room that can do it. So we need you to do it and be successful. And so we took that. We're like, all right, let's go. We're going to be the best in the nation. And that was our goal. And I know people at the time looked at other schools. Were like, no, we are the best DBs in America. And we're going to prove that to you guys every single weekend. And I know my senior year, I don't think we scored an offensive touchdown for the first three games. Oh, but wow. We didn't. So we were like, hey, we don't care. We're going to go score. And we're going to make it a game where it doesn't matter what our offense does. We're still going to win this game. And so it was a challenge for us. But, you know, you look at everyone, every starter my senior year played in the NFL.
Yeah.
And I think if you look at the defense, I think every starter except for two played in the NFL. And then the two deep, there was another eight or nine guys who played in the NFL. And so that the defense, we were on it and we had some skill, but like it meant something to us. And so when I see the current team, when it means something to them, the way they play, like it makes me feel great about kind of the standard that we set and that we left there, because the standard is the standard. At Notre Dame, it's not about what you are doing now. It's about everyone who's ever worn that helmet and what they've done before, and you have to make them proud. So that was the mindset we had. It was like, hey, everything we have is because of the former guys, and we got to make sure that they're impressed with the way we're playing this game.
Awesome.
So that's what we carried with us into every single game.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for walking me through your journey and going through some of the different things you did through your career and updating everyone on what you're doing now. And I really appreciate you being here.
Of course, brother. Anything.
Awesome. Well, and for those who are listening, thanks again for tuning in, and we'll be back with another episode in 2 weeks.